Welcome to Some Say I'm Gifted, where we teach you the magic of walking in your spiritual gifts and how it can help you navigate this crazy life, and helping you understand that even though we're in this world, we are not of it. So take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and let's get real.
Hey guys, you caught me off guard, Morgan. This is me, Tess. Tess is me from Some Say I'm Gifted, and I'm here with my two hosts. I'm not going to say cakes anymore because I was scolded earlier. But anyways, Morgan and Danielle are here. Guys, why don't you speak up?
Hello, everyone. I'm Danielle.
Hey, guys. I'm Morgan.
And we are Some Say I'm Gifted. Okay. We have a shout-out of people.
Yeah. Shout-out to the people.
Sorry.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm so glad you didn't have headphones on that. It's probably
like... Let them eat cake.
Oh my god. I want a shirt now that says that.
Merchandise is coming, guys.
Yes, we're working merchandise. Sorry, Danielle, you have the floor. Who are we shouting out today?
Yes, we are shouting out Marissa Rose. Thank you for commenting on our TikToks. We appreciate it. Thank you, Marissa.
Thank you, Marissa. Woo-hoo. Wasn't there a show Marissa Explains It All?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. And it had, remember Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, the TV show, like in the 90s with the cat that talked?
Mm-hmm.
She was on Marissa Explains It All. Before that, she had a pet alligator. Same person. I can't remember her name.
Oh my God.
Look it up. She had a little brother that had red hair that was real mean.
Fascinating. Okay. I've not heard of the show before.
Plethora of useless knowledge. Anyways. If you're wondering how Sweet Marissa, actually Sweet Melissa, it's an Allman Brothers song, got a shout out on our wonderful podcast, it's because she interacted with us either on TikTok.
On TikTok, yes.
But we have TikTok, mm-hmm. We have Instagram, and we have Facebook. And you can reach us on all those platforms and interact with our interactive person.
We love it.
Or you can comment on our YouTube page, too.
You could. As well.
And we come up with these posts daily.
Yes.
Sometimes in a drunken stupor. I'm just kidding.
Sometimes really late at night. No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
Sometimes late at night. Y'all probably don't know that song, do you?
I don't think so.
You can sing it all. Maybe we'll remember it.
I lay awake and watch her sleeping. You never...
Oh, that song.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I think it's a Garth Brooks song in it. It's unanswered prayers in it.
I'm sorry, I need the music. I can't just from the
sometimes
lyrics.
Sometimes late at night. You like it?
I love that.
If I sing like Sid the Sloth, my kids say it sounds better.
Oh,
I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
It's better than if I just use my normal singing voice, which I was told people would pay me to stop.
Oh my God.
My husband told me that. He meant it with love. And he's deaf.
Was that he dead before he met you, or just
born that?
Oh
way.
My God! It's not a choice; it's actual. Thing.
Sometimes I think it is. He's partially deaf. He just can't hear certain pitches. So,
right.
All
right.
What are we talking about today, Des?
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about all the things.
Oh shit! Yeah. Okay. I think in my little notebook we do have some questions. I have a question for you two. Did that clap wake you up?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to know where the clap came from? You don't. Okay, here we go. What do you know about generational curses, speaking of claps?
Oh my God.
Hello, mother. What do you know about generational curses? It's kind of a fad now. You see a lot of like other TikTok-y things being like, to break a generational curse, you have to stand on your head and spit babies out of your butt.
I think I saw that TikTok.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I sent it to you. It worked for me. Did it work? No, it's fine. I sit here like my mom.
All I thought about was a little sweet treat, but that's very different.
Oh, it was very similar voice there. What do you all... I know that we've talked about generational curses in our work because we do some pretty cool things. But what are you, prior to working with me, had you ever heard of it?
Well, one of my favorite things...
I'm so sorry.
One of my favorite things that I found whenever I, like, first started hearing about generational curses and stuff was there's, like, a picture. Like, if you Google breaking generational curses, this picture shows up. And it's, like, a grandmother yelling at a mom, like, you'll never be good enough, blah, 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 that type of thing. And then the next generation saying it to their daughter, and the next generation saying it to their daughter. And then it's this mom turns around and says, I won't say those things to my daughter. Instead, she says, you are worthy, you are great, you're going to flourish, things. And it's like the mom's breaking the generational curses of repeating those patterns.
Word. So that's your take on generational curses.
That's where I initially heard about it. And
before kinda, working with
yes,
me.
Yes.
Cool.
Yep.
Got it. But I was just like, she knew things before me.
Because my mom was breaking generational curses.
She was. Yeah. She really was.
Yep. And your mom...
Mom's amazing.
Her.
I love my mom.
Yeah,
we're trying to get her on the podcast eventually. Come on, we're gonna have the capability.
She will tell us to shut the fuck up.
Say, sit back,
lady.
Let me tell you about breaking
Get over it, and let's face some truth here.
That was great. That was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I had not really heard about a whole lot of generational curses,
which is interesting. Sorry to interrupt, but because you're Italian.
But I had not heard about generational curses, breaking generational curses, generational trauma, any of that before talking to y'all about it.
The reason it's funny, because she's Italian, because everything's very generational. Like, this is a generational bolognese sauce.
Yes. It's very generational, traditional, yes, like all the things passed down. Like, they like talk, Italians like talking about their heritage. They really do.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love that.
But in terms of, like, curses and anything, nothing. Never heard anything of the sort. Didn't know it existed prior to talking to y'all about it.
So have you all ever heard of, like, curses that literally, like, okay, I know it might be in a movie. Maybe it's like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, but I had heard about it before. Okay, for instance, mm-hmm. I'm using this as a reference, but let's say my grandfather's brother, okay, are you with me? My grandfather's brother.
My second uncle.
Great uncle, yeah.
Great uncle.
Yep.
Yeah. Second uncle sounds really weird.
Great uncle.
My great uncle. Okay. Okay. My grandfather's brother. So yes. Let's do the. Yeah. When they were younger, he did something he shouldn't have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
This is just a scenario, please. This is just the scenario. Everybody with me? So they grew up in the same household. They could have made the same decisions. Was their father, my great-grandfather, was he a poophead? He could have been. Could he have done horrible things? He could have. But it was their choice to follow in his footsteps or make their own choices, okay? So my grandfather's brother made a bad choice and raped a woman, okay? Which got her pregnant, okay? He had nothing to do with her and said, everybody, she's a whore. I don't know what she's talking about, okay? Mm. So he denied his son. Mm. Okay, this is the no-no. He raped another woman. Nothing happened. He had raped multiple, okay? This is a story. It's completely for storytelling. This is just to show generational curses if they exist, okay?
Right.
So then he also killed a man.
Wow.
And because my great-grandfather was the high sheriff of Mitchell County, North Carolina, he got out of it. Mm. Okay? Wow. And they had money, so they could pay his way out of it. Even if my great-grandfather, Pink Green Young, I'm using their real names. It's just a story. I'm not using my great-uncle's name because this is a fictional great-uncle. Okay, so here we go. Okay? They grow up. Because this was when they were young adults or teenagers, whatever. They get married. Mm-hmm. My grandfather gets married. His brother gets married. Okay, my great uncle. They get married. They have children. Okay. And their marriages last till they die, both of them. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My grandfather had 4 kids, 1 boy, 3 girls. I want to say 13 or 14 grandchildren. Okay. Ooh.
Wow.
Okay. My great uncle got married, had 2 girls. Both of the girls have been raped multiple times.
Hmm.
Both of the girls have had horrible relationship things, okay?
Just this is a fictional thing.
Yeah.
One of the girls became a rapist towards men and women.
Okay.
Oof.
Then she died a pretty horrible death of cancer. Would you say that that was a generational curse?
It sounds like it.
I mean,
the reason I'm using this as a story, right? What's the difference? You know what? I can tell you the only difference I see in it, and I didn't mention it. So, ask questions and I'll answer them accordingly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
My immediate thought, without prior knowledge of like the actual curses or anything like that, would be that the uncle would have been mistreating the girls while they were being raised.
No.
My thought would be the decisions that the two men made were different with how they wanted to live their life. Or maybe there was, I don't know, I have two things. Either they made different decisions or one.
Well, clearly they made different decisions.
Yeah.
My grandfather didn't rape and kill people.
Right. But I feel like because it was their father, it probably wasn't both of them, but they had to choose what to do with
that. Yeah, that's what I mean. It was both of them. But my grandfather chose not to.
Yeah.
My great uncle chose to.
Yeah.
So tell me what the difference is. You all can think of any difference that would be the biggest. Hello.
Well, I would say the one brother was probably treated differently, or something happened to him. Maybe.
Everybody in that house was treated the same way, and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
They were provided for, but nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Bueller. Nothing really. One gave their life to Christ at a young age. One gave it after they became a dad. Crazy.
Oh. Well, that makes so much sense.
I'm not saying this is a real story. I'm saying it can play that way. And I know that my grandfather and all of my grandfather's siblings were wonderful. And I'm just using that as a scenario. I could have done it. And it could be my grandfather on my dad's side, y'all. I mean, I said Pink and Leo, but that's my mom's side. But let's just.
This could be anybody's grandfather.
Yeah, this could be anybody's grandfather, great uncle. I'm just using this as an example. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, following Christ, not following Christ, that's your choice. I've known people that have not followed Christ that have broken generational curses, too. So let's understand generational curses. But let's do it in a non-religious or spiritual way. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Now, I know that you're like, if you're saying non-religious and non-spiritual, but you're using the word curses, but hold on. We're gonna pull the word curses out just for those that want to think about this in a skeptical way. Okay, are we cool with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so genetically, I am predisposed to have, let me think of something that everybody in my family usually has, ADD, ADHD, okay? Genetically, I'm predisposed to high blood pressure with weight gain. That's kind of a given, right? Those are genetics in my family. Does that mean genetically I'm predisposed to have addiction? Scientifically, do you guys know the answer to that?
Yes.
Yes, you know the answer? Yes, I am.
Both.
Okay, so what's the answer?
Yes.
Yes. You need to be a little bit more, let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes, Morgan. The reason I'm saying is because that's a very touchy subject. A lot of people think that if you have an alcoholic in the family, oh my God, it's the only one because nobody drinks in our family because we all go to a Baptist church and Baptists don't drink. Can that happen? Oh yeah, there can be, but
there can be a one odd one out.
There
but
absolutely can.
That's situational, whereas there are families that are genetically pre- predispositioned to have
absolutely
alcoholism or other things.
So years ago, it was really unheard of to hear you have addiction on both sides of your family. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little bit more talked about nowadays. Addiction, I'm not saying it's a sin, but anytime you put anything before God, whether it's food, men, women, pornography, sex, drugs, alcohol, lust, shopping, doom scrolling. I mean, you put anything before God in the way, because we follow Christ is how we look at it. Whatever you put before God becomes an addiction. Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to just worship Yahweh, right? Yahshua Elohim. So, can you be predisposed to addiction? Yes. But when they start admitting things like this, it goes, wait a minute, you're telling me that if my dad had a gambling problem, does that mean I could have a gambling problem? Maybe not gambling, but maybe
an addiction to something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's now called addictive personality. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, y'all have heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I tell my boys, because I'm very honest and open about my life, I was a druggie and an alcoholic, and I loved sex with men and women. I don't discriminate now about anything. And I didn't then either. So when I decided to change those things in my life, and I decided to follow Christ, and I'm not saying it wasn't a struggle, and I didn't go, wait, I'm gonna have a few drinks and maybe a few more. There were times in my life when I did. But the important thing is, I got it, honestly, on both sides of the family, from my mom's side and from my dad's side, mm-hmm. right? But I was told at an early age, you have addiction on both sides of your family. You have to be careful where you walk. You have to be careful what you do. You have to be aware of where you go and who you hang out with. Because if you don't, you could fall into the same traps. And let me tell you, I fell into the exact same traps as my parents. The only ones I didn't were here and there. I don't want to say them because I don't want to entice them. But my mom and my dad both had one addiction each that I never got into, which is, I don't care. That's fine. I'm not trying. It's not a competition. I'm glad I didn't. You know what I mean? But there does come a point in your life where you have to make a choice, right? Like, you're going to be this way or that way. So generational curses is a word that's used really openly now, but still kind of loosey-goosey. Does that make sense? It's more of a spiritual term, but it's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if your mom, and I'm using this because I know your mom doesn't have this. I'm not speaking this on her, but I know that she would be okay. If your mom had type 1 diabetes... Okay, that usually means you get from birth, right?
Yes.
Type 2, you usually get from gaining weight and overeating and eating unhealthy things, right? Yes. If your mom had type 1 diabetes, would that make you more likely to have type 1 diabetes?
Yes.
Yes, and you would watch it more, right?
Yes.
So when you say, my mom, I know she's not, that's why, okay, was an alcoholic, I have to watch being around alcohol, it should be taken with the same level,
yes.
right? Why is it not? Because people think it's a generational curse as opposed to?
Well, there's also the thought that you can overcome these things with willpower, that you can willpower your way out of addiction and all these things, that you're just weak because, you know, that's what people put on people with addictions and stuff, is that they're just weak and they don't have enough willpower to overcome it.
Some of the strongest people I've ever met in my life have addictions.
That's where I think that it is genetic. Because you don't, people have, like, willpower is not the only reason, or it's not even a factor in the playing field of addiction or anything like that. Like you said, I've met a lot of people with strong willpower, and, you know.
But they yeah. have addiction.
They've got the willpower to go get their next fix. I mean, they'll do anything to get it.
Listen, if you've never met a meth head or a crackhead, there is willpower in yeah. them people. I've turned into a Baptist minister for a second. Willpower. and those people, because I'm telling you, it takes a lot of willpower to go strip copper out of wire.
Yep.
It takes a lot of willpower to invent something at 3 o'clock in the morning, stay up for 4 days to make it so you make enough money to get your next little bit of meth. Yep. I'm telling you.
Yep. It is not a willpower game.
No, it's not. It's an addiction issue.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And usually it's actually some other kind of issue, and they're using that and trying to self-medicate. Mm-hmm. Mm. Which is my favorite, and like why people don't look at these people and say, oh, that's just a drug addict. Why are they a drug addict? What do they need in their life? What is the lack of that? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the root cause? Is it just the DNA? Is it some sort of trauma Absolutely. That happened to them? Is it, you know, there's lots of different things that could happen to cause those things.
Okay, so can we put our spiritual hat back on now?
Ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yours looks like a witch's hat.
Thank you. But like a cute, like, fairy mushroom witch, right? Not that those things are, like... Good.
He's a little pointier than that.
Danielle for the... She just rounded third base and a woo. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, spiritual hat is on, Tess. Loud and clear. I hear you.
Okay. Danielle, I hate to ask you, but can you read the passage of scripture that we have?
Yes, I can. Okay. So we are in Exodus 34:7.
You mean 3:47?
3:47.
All right.
I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the 3rd and 4th generations.
So I get cold chills because that's some heavy shit.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't say that when reading God's word, but it is super heavy.
There's a lot in there.
So you're telling me that I got to deal with
everything from so many.
Like, you understand my grandparents and my great-grandparents, like, turds, right? Like, there was some turd action, right?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. And if anybody was, it would be me. No, I'm just playing. I'm definitely not perfect in any way. And I'm okay with that. I like, that's what makes me perfect, is understanding that I'm not perfect. Does that make sense? Because I am. Anyways.
I think what you mean to say is you're human.
Oh, yeah, that. No, I'm not. but because of that, we still don't have the right to go around killing people and doing whatever we want, right?
Yeah, you can say, oh, my great-grandpa Jesse killed 10 people, so that's why I'm doing it.
Right.
This doesn't give us that right, but the thing is, we only look at that. We don't look in the fact that, like, my grandmother skirted issues her whole life and never embraced them head on, right? Not, if you knew my grandmother, you would know that that's not the case. But I'm using that as an example, okay? Here's another thought. What if your family was silent? Mm-hmm. And you're like, screw this. I'm letting all the doors open. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can you try to break? There is a train of thought that some children are brought here to break those curses in the family.
Yeah.
Have you all heard that? And if so, what do you feel about that?
I have heard that. And I do feel that there are some members of families that are called, for lack of better, to break some of the things that have been destroying the bloodline, to be honest.
So you do feel that? Okay.
I do feel that way. Yes.
What do you think about that? Like, there are some children born that are here to break those generational curses. Like, that was their main purpose in
that
life?
That was my mom's, like, she completely... She knew, no one taught her who God was. Like, she didn't have a religious household or
my grandmother was the same way. Faith-based
household or anything. My mom, from the age of like 2 or 3, was like, I know God, I know who this is, and this, he's shown himself to me. And she's walked her whole life with that knowledge and that faith, and she's made decisions that have, you know, she didn't know how to do it. She wasn't, she didn't know what she was doing, but she found out because she started doing it.
My grandmother, nobody told her. They actually taught her hoodoo. And she knew who Christ was, and she decided to change everything to the point that she brought her father to Christ, and he became a Baptist minister. Okay?
Whoa.
Which is pretty big. She changed it for my mom's side of the family.
That's big, mammy.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to call
her
out.
No, you're absolutely fun. And then my mom was born, and her siblings. She was a baby. And then not too long ago, my grandmother told me that I was brought here to change things. So I don't know, you know, but I definitely can feel that. I can feel it with my kids and how I treat them, how I raise them, and how I was raised. There's a large difference. I'm not saying my mom was a bad mom. She did the absolute effing best she could for what she had to work with. I mean, honestly, and my dad too. They both could have been better, but they both could have been worse, and that's really how I feel about it. I love it. I love them. Sure. Yeah. If I could have had a magic wand and changed certain things, I absolutely would have, but that's not.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would, but, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are some people, I do agree, that there are children sitting here to break and change things. Do you feel like you were sitting here, Morgan, to break and change things?
No.
Really?
No. No way.
Maybe to continue on what my mom did or to...
I think you're wrong.
Really?
Because I want you to think about both sides of your family.
Oh.
You think you were sitting here to break and change things? I think you are.
Yet to be seen.
No. Pretty sure Nashville saw it all.
I mean, I think so. I don't know a whole lot about your family, but just from
what
I
see. She just carries that energy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Absolutely. 1,000%.
What about you, Daniel?
What about me? I mean, yeah. I mean, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I probably just because like now seeing how my family, like seeing my family from the lens that I see them at now, I love them to death. I just feel like there are things that needed to be changed. And I feel like I am finally.
You're not faulting your parents for these things.
Not at all. No, I see that it's not. anyone's fault.
They can't. It's because the cool thing is we're only expected to do better than our parents.
Right.
Like, and I'm not meaning financially. Yeah. I mean, if that's your thing, if you grew up in poverty and you want to do better, that's, dude. Or even you grew up middle class or above or what, and you want to, that's on you, right? Do better.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking. We're talking about to do better as in we have this magic little box at our fingers 24/7 that we can Google generational curses. We can Google, is it normal to get so mad that you decide not to talk to your children for 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like,
I think it's more about
they didn't have that, you know?
Yeah, I think it's more about knowledge and what you do absolutely. With that knowledge, right? I mean, that's how I've looked at it. Like, the more you learn, maybe they didn't know. They probably didn't know, but now I know. So what am I going to do with it? I think that's where I come from with it. It's more of a,
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
And recognizing it, you know? Because there have been things that have been pointed out to you and maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I mean, yeah, I would say to answer your question, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for me to sit here with the three of us and not think that we all don't have that about us. Because of how we blatantly will walk into a room and be like, that's not right. Not talking about decorations.
Oh, we do that too.
Some of us do. Maybe. Anyways, I'm just saying at the same time, if we see an injustice, whether it's people we know or people we don't, we'll stand up and say no. I do not know what's going on, man.
I really think that.
Sorry.
I'm reaping the benefits of both of my mom and my dad.
I think so too.
My dad did a lot too.
Oh, I'm not saying your dad didn't. I'm just saying.
It's trickling down.
It's trickling down, but you had to have your mom and dad to be that.
Yeah, right.
So if you didn't have your mom and your dad, you wouldn't have been that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think you are.
Yeah, they created me to continue to break them.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Sometimes that's what we are. Sometimes we're the one going, wait a minute, we don't have to just do this. And then sometimes we're like, you know what? I'm going to take the right side, which is what they believe, mm-hmm. and I'm going to continue to carry that.
Yeah. That's definitely what I'm doing.
Yes. Can I elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean.
No.
But in your dad's side of the family, mm-hmm. and if I'm wrong, tell me. It's not going to hurt my feelings, okay? I don't want to upset anybody. If a man said something, it was accepted because it was a man.
It holded a lot more weight.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yes, you're carrying on your dad's tradition as a female, and that's beautiful. And that's how you're breaking it. Mm. And that's one of the things that warms my heart, is because there's not a gender boundary with you. And I'm cool with it. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they listen to you like they would your father.
Yeah.
That's the coolest part. They know that when you come in and say, oh, wait.
We're not saying that.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that today.
Everybody goes, okay, because she's right.
I feel like it sounds like they really needed a powerful voice to come in, a voice of reason.
I don't know if you've met her mother.
She's very fucking powerful.
She is a voice of reason, but she also went, not my circus, not my monkeys. And she, honestly, especially when I was going through a lot of things with, personally in my life, with having a blended family, she was like, you know what? You have the right to step back. And I did. And it's possibly what saved my marriage and why I have a great marriage.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because mm-hmm. she's like...
yeah. It does make sense. It does make a lot of sense.
But there is, you know, that blood that Morgan comes in and goes, with that blood, ayo. Yeah. yeah.
Boldly.
Yeah. By the way.
Yes. That's what it is. It's like bold, confident, just like nobody's going to stand in my way from doing what I know is right and just and true, right?
But you know, I was shaking the whole time. I had to stand up to somebody in my family. That's kind of what we're talking about here. And I was worried, and I thought I said everything wrong when I walked away. I was like, oh, I should not have said the things I said. But then it had a good outcome.
It had a great outcome. Here's something you need to realize. When we ask God to send us, and we ask God to be a warrior, we ask all these things, you know, like, just give me knowledge, wisdom, power, understanding. He'll be like, you asked for it, here you go, you got it. And the Holy Spirit starts coming out of your mouth, and you're like, you don't do that. And you'll feel like you're a zombie, shaking. And you feel like, I am not saying, because you're not saying it right. Mm-hmm. That's right, you're not. The Holy Spirit working through you is.
Yeah.
And that does take another level. And when you get to that level, you'll be like, I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's going to come out sometimes. I had a very similar situation, but not with an elder. We have a blended family. We had a situation. And normally I keep my mouth shut because I'm going to step away and let you know. We had a situation. I don't want to get into it because I promised them that I wouldn't. But it was a situation, and before I knew it, I said, what are you doing? And my husband normally would be like, hey, I got this, don't worry. He sat down and went and motioned me to go ahead. And I said, are you aware that if this behavior happens in this house, it's the same as if it happens at your school? So let me tell you what I'm going to do. You act like this again, I will be at your school tomorrow and have lunch and tell everyone in my line of noise what you did. And they went, what? What do you mean? Why would you do that? I was like, if you can't do this in front of people, you don't need to be doing it in our house. Do you understand me? And the fear, and I'm not trying to invoke fear, but you don't do certain things. You don't be a turd. You don't put turds in places they don't go. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the nicest way I can say what happened. And when I was done, I was like, to my husband, I'm sorry, so sorry. And he said, you handled that so much better than I could have ever handled it. Because he will never forget that. He will know from that moment forward, if I act a fool, she gonna make sure I act a fool in front of people that I care their opinion of me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's just God's honest truth. If you wouldn't do this in a room full of people, you don't do this in our house. Because I do think that we, all of us were called, and it's not, a lot of the times it's not just generational curses for our bloodline, sometimes it's other people's bloodline too. those are the heavy hitters to me. I also think that generational curses, we say it all the time, but DNA doesn't lie, right? It doesn't, mm-hmm. It's not as forgiving, mm-hmm. we should say, as other things. It's
not bendable.
No, yeah. No. So because of that, I heard a preacher one time say that cancer, if your child has cancer, now this is another preacher, it's not me, it's your fault because your DNA and your spouse's DNA created a faulty DNA which caused cancer.
Ooh.
And depending on where the cancer is, there lies the problem. I had cancer of the blood. So, I don't know which of them poop heads had bad blood, but... You know what I mean?
Didn't their families have bad blood with each other way, like, long ago?
No?
Okay. I thought that they had, like, rival sides of the mountain or something.
Yeah, but that was on one side, not on... Oh, okay. That, you're so talking about the Hatfield-McCoy thing.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. But that was on not. Just one side of
well,
my
there
family.
You go. Came from that side.
There it is.
I don't know.
That might be a little too dumbed down. But.
A little bit. I mean, it's supposed to be like, if you have cancer in this part of your body, then this family and this family both have weakness in that. So it would have to be on my mom's side and my dad's side, both have weakness in blood.
That's fascinating.
I'm not saying they're wrong. But I don't necessarily believe that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah. It's a theory. I don't think that's right. I think that's a lot of words for somebody that doesn't have the education to say that, you know? Yeah. Now, if he was an oncologist, and specifically a hematologist, oncologist that deals with cancer of the blood, I might listen to him.
Is cancer a disease, or is it completely separate?
Well, there's diseases and there's cancers.
Okay, so I would...
They're separate.
I don't know if cancers really go in your genes.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
It's a genetic deformity.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, but we should look into that. That's what I was told growing up.
I don't know. And because if your mom has breast cancer, then you're susceptible to it.
And you could carry the gene for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have the genetic testing with my mom for breast cancer. I don't carry that gene.
Good.
I still get mammograms.
My mom
regularly.
Had it too, and she doesn't, because her mom
did
had
she?
Breast cancer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a mammograms coming up. Well, you know.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Fun stuff. Woo-hoo. Mammograms are never fun.
No,
but genetically.
Yeah.
So here's the cool thing: if we have time to go into that, right?
Yes.
Let's say that your parent was a total poophead. And you are thinking about have kids, or you have kids currently, and you don't want to be that way, so you've changed everything about it. And now I know for like a lot of millennials, you do the no contact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think God knew that I would never be that way, so both of my parents are dead. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but like, no, there was a codependency there that was not healthy.
Not going to be broken, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, how do you break that? How do you change that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you a story about somebody I've worked with. One of my clients drank every day after work. Okay. One to six, sometimes 12 beers. Okay. A day.
Okay.
Held down a job, really successful, married, had kids, whatever. And started asking me, hey, listen, do you think this is a problem? I'm like, do you think it's a problem?
Is that what's considered a functioning alcoholic, or is that different?
Well, let me get there.
Okay.
Because a lot of people do not think that's functioning alcoholic, because sometimes those kind of people can quit drinking for years and they go back to it.
Ooh.
So definition-wise, a functioning alcoholic needs alcohol every day.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Without alcohol, they'll go into DTs. Okay.
Yes. Got it.
Which we'll get there, but... So I said to the person, do you think that? And they went, I'm asking you what you think. I said, you wouldn't ask me unless you feel that way. So let's, before we can title it, we got to be honest with ourselves. So do you think you have a problem? No. I said, okay, then why are you asking me? I think that it can affect my liver. I can work with this. Okay.
Okay.
So why do you think it affects your liver? Because you drink so much, you drink nonstop. Have you tried to stop? I can stop at any time, then stop. And they would stop for a day or two, a month, one time a year. No lie. Great. Willpower, strong, right? Mm. So it's not about willpower. Mm-hmm. It's about habits. So then I asked this person, why are you worried about it? I'm not. Okay. How's your liver? Great. Is it great now? Now it's great. I'm like, okay, wonderful. So when I was growing up, my parents drank, but they didn't do it in front of me until I was much older. And I grew up knowing that both of my parents had problems. But at the same time, my first sip of alcohol was given to me by a parent at the age of 8. Wow. I was given a frozen daiquiri and said I could have all of it at 8. My brother was about 7 or 8 when he got his first alcohol. By the time I was 15, I was driving and learning how to drive drunk. Okay. Ooh. Let's just cut that down. Okay. So yeah, there was problems. My kids are like, I can't wait to try beer. And I'm like, come here. You want to try? You want to smell this whiskey? Smell it. I don't know if you've ever smelled whiskey, but if you don't like whiskey, it smells gross. Yeah. IPAs smell worse. So I let them smell everything. And I tell them, when you're 24, not 21, when you're 24 to 25, I'll have a beer with you. But why have it when you're 21? That's lame. Everybody does that. Wait. Let your brain fully develop. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, growing up, alcohol was bad in the devil. Then it was good. It was bad in the devil. I had a very weird understanding and relationship with it. So by the time I was 20, I was a full-blown alcoholic, and that's not even legal. I couldn't even drink legally. I mean, I can remember slipping a bottle of Southern Comfort into my purse to take to school with me. Wow. In high school. Like, I had a problem, right? So I'm talking with this person. I'm counseling them, and I'm like, okay, so tell me. Did your parents drink every day when they came home from work? They would have like a charcuterie board, which was it called that? It was called cheese and crackers. Mm-hmm. And a bottle of wine. Then they would have a bottle of wine with dinner and a bottle of wine after. Wine. Mm-hmm. I said, so you're telling me that two adults would drink 3 bottles of wine a night? Yeah, but it was a cheap kind. I'm like, I don't care if it was rubbing alcohol.
It's alcohol.
It's 3 bottles a night. That's 1.5 bottles a person if we just divide it down the middle. Mm-hmm. And I said, was it always wine? He said, no, actually, they would start with bourbon.
Start? Oh.
So they would, when they first came home, they would have bourbon. But they were wealthy, right? Like, they were upper middle class. They had jobs, careers. They were really smart people, you know, very involved in cultural. They listened to music, but even with dinner, they listened to like classical, you know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. They would go to the symphony, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Snooty, whatever. I don't care. But that's an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I asked them, are your parents still living? No. What happened? My father passed away because he had massive depression and anxiety and that he ended his life. My mother passed away because she had health issues and refused to quit drinking, but she didn't really drink that much. I said, how much did she drink after she was advised to quit? And they said, roughly a day. I said, yeah, a day. Well, if it was a weekday, 2 to 3 bottles a day of wine. But on the weekends, she would have a few mixed drinks. And I would say, what's a few mixed drinks? Jack and Coke, how big? A pint glass? A tumbler? Mm-hmm. You know what? I need to know. I need to know what we're getting. I don't know. Would they go through a bottle of Jack in a weekend? Oh, she could do that in a day. So.
It's just a little bit.
Oh, my God. I said, was there a time in your life that they ever quit drinking? No, because it was never a problem. And I said, it was never a problem because they never stopped. And I'm telling you, they got so mad. Because you, when you stop, you go through DTs.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant. I meant, was it never a problem because they never stopped and you didn't know that they were any different?
Right.
So I worked with this person a long time, and I really, like, said, hey, listen, you can't help what your parents did. It doesn't make you a bad person. Your choices and alcohol, them didn't make him a bad person. It just, it wasn't good for them. Mm-hmm. And maybe it expedited their death, right? Mm-hmm. And especially like with your father having depression, alcohol is a depressant. Okay, now this went on for a long time. The person all of a sudden had a realization that they were walking in the exact same path of their parents. And they, doesn't matter what I say, I could be like, you're an alcoholic, you're going to burn in hell, your liver's going to give out, your kidneys are going to go, you're going to get be on dialysis, you'll probably die of some form of hepatitis. It doesn't matter. I could do that all day long. Until you understand and accept it for you. I didn't judge them. I was right there with them. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, my parents had horrible drinking problems, but I knew it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I knew it. We would talk about it, right? This person accepted it and changed their entire life because they didn't want to walk that way. Does that mean that was a generational curse on that family? Absolutely. Because the further they got away from alcohol, which now they pretty much, they'll drink every once in a blue moon, maybe like when they go out to dinner with friends and everything. When that person really kind of quit drinking and alcohol was out of their system for a long time, I said, so can we talk about your grandparents now? And they said, yeah. And I said, did your grandparents drink? Yeah. Every day? Every time I ever saw them. Did you see them? Like, did you go stay with them over the summer for days or weeks at a time? Yeah. So every evening. So when this person started to look back at his life, he started to see these patterns. And it's really cool that it wasn't just for himself, but he decided, I'm drawing the line in the sand for my kids because they don't need to see this anymore. Mm-hmm. So it does change things. And I think if I called this client right now and said, hey, did you think you had a degeneration? He'd be like, Lord, no, you know, because he doesn't think in curses and spells and things like that. But just because it's generational curses doesn't mean anything. Biblically, it says curses, does it not?
It does.
Yep. Or sins of the father.
Sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes in different parts it says tenfold and it will number how many generations and things like that, which makes me always want to go back to my family tree and count how far back the assholes were. But unfortunately, my family tree is littered with them, so it's kind of hard to find. Mm. But like a break, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I want to know what you guys feel about this. I want to know how your thoughts, your emotions on generational curses. Do you think they're real? Do you think they're not? Do you think that addiction or, you know, just being a jackass can be passed down genetically? Let us know. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, SomeSamGifted. You can reach out privately to us at SomeSamGifted@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. We love you guys. You can also find me, Tess, at Tessera Lee McKittrick on Facebook. I love you guys. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
Love you guys.
Love you.